This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
On Tuesday, at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, a man killed 21 people, including 19 children. 2 weeks ago, at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, a man motivated by racism killed 10 people. Both men used AR-15-style rifles. And so did the shooter at a music festival in Las Vegas, and at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, and at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, and at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and at a FedEx in Indianapolis, and at a high school in Parkland, Florida, and at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. The AR-15 is the best-selling rifle in America. It's used by target shooters and some hunters. It's widely available at retailers. But its ability to kill many people quickly has made it highly contentious.
The gun has become a symbol of Second Amendment rights. AR-15s are available almost everywhere, and at very low prices. You can get one for a couple hundred dollars. You can buy all the parts to build one on yourself at your home. The AR-15 has become ubiquitous in America.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Limbaugh. It's Thursday, May 26th. Coming up on the show, America's relationship with AR-15-style guns and the political fight to ban them. There are a variety of AR-15-style weapons on the market. They are all semi-automatic rifles, meaning the gun basically reloads itself. Every time you pull the trigger, it fires.
And it is a semi-automatic weapon that you can fire as fast as you can pull the trigger. And it can be outfitted with high-capacity magazines. It is a gun that can be used to kill a lot of people very quickly.
Our colleague Zusha Ellenson covers guns and is currently co-authoring a book on the history of the AR-15. He says the AR-15 was invented in the 1950s and eventually evolved into the M16, a fully automatic rifle used by the military.
The company that made the M16 for the military decided they wanted to also sell a version to civilians in America. And they made one little change to the gun, which is that they made it semi-automatic. But other than that, it was very similar to the military cousin, the M16.
But when they first became available to the public in the 60s, gun owners weren't that interested.
Colt, which made the military version of this gun, the M16, tried to sell the AR-15 to civilians. And it was not popular. Hunters didn't like it. It wasn't like their traditional Woodstock hunting rifles. They didn't see why you needed so many bullets to shoot a deer. They prided themselves in accuracy. They viewed it as a sort of gun that was used by radical groups. And so for years, it was not really accepted in the gun world.
And then in 1989, a mass shooting at an elementary school in Stockton, California, brought these weapons to national attention and began to shift attitudes around this type of gun.
A drifter used an AK-47-style rifle to shoot up a schoolyard full of children.
When the rampage was over, five students lay dead, a teacher, and more than 30 students were injured. more than half of them critically. One bystander said it sounded like a gun battle.
What followed was the first national debate about military-style semi-automatic weapons. Republicans, law enforcement officials, Democrats all took a deep moment at that time to sort of ponder whether these types of weapons belonged in our society.
Lawmakers started talking about a possible ban on assault-style weapons. And at first, many Republicans and Democrats were on the same page.
Republican President George Bush banned the import of these types of weapons. It included a ban on the import of AK-47-style rifles. It did not include a ban on AR-15s because they were made in the U.S. But such bans began to be debated in Congress in 1989.
Those debates accelerated when Democrats took control of the White House in 1993.
President Clinton shepherded through what at the time seemed to be the most wide-reaching ban on guns in America. Key in this effort was police officials' support for such a ban. Police said they were tired of being shot at in the street, and the support of law enforcement for this ban allowed moderate Democrats and Republicans to have the cover to vote for such a wide-reaching gun control measure. It allowed them to argue to their constituents that the police wanted such a ban and that the concerns of the NRA should be put aside for that moment.
The NRA, as in the National Rifle Association, which opposed the ban.
From the very beginning after the shooting in 1989, the NRA and gun owners made the argument that these guns, semi-automatic rifles, were no different than any other type of gun. They argue, of course, that under the Second Amendment, as it's been interpreted by the Supreme Court, that Americans have the right to own weapons like AR-15s.
But even without the NRA's support, Congress passed a bill banning assault-style weapons. That legislation, part of a larger crime bill, was spearheaded in part by then-Senator Joe Biden.
Recent events illustrate again and with chilling vividness the tragedy that results from the wide and easy availability of guns with firepower that overwhelms our police, of weapons that have...
Joe Biden was key in passing the 1994 assault weapons ban. He was the sponsor of Clinton's crime bill, which was the vehicle for which this ban was passed. At certain times, the White House wanted to take the ban out of the crime bill so they could pass it. And Biden, in the end, stood up for keeping the ban in this massive anti-crime bill.
President Clinton signed the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act in September 1994. It included a 10-year ban on assault-style weapons.
Without eroding the rights of sportsmen and women in this country, we will finally ban these assault weapons from our street that have no purpose other than to kill.
How significant was that moment?
It was a huge moment. It was, in many ways, the peak for the gun control movement in America. Not only did they pass a ban on weapons like the AR-15, but the year before, they had passed the Brady Bill, which instituted the modern background check system. They did it, of course, when Congress was controlled by Democrats and the White House was held by a Democrat, and they did it after a series of mass shootings. It was the peak of the gun control movement, but that peak was quickly followed by a deep valley.
That's after the break. The same year that the assault weapons ban was signed into law was also a big election year, and the NRA poured millions into races across the country in response.
in the 1994 midterm elections, right after they passed the assault weapons ban, the NRA went on a campaign of retribution. They targeted every member of Congress who had voted for the ban, even if they had supported them in the past. A lot of members of Congress, powerful members of Congress, even the House Speaker, Tom Foley, were unseated in that midterm election. In many ways, that midterm election is looked on as the reason why, if you're a Congress member, that you don't vote for gun control.
A top NRA official from the time told Zusha that the group had never before spent so much money on political races as it did in 94, and took credit for unseating Democrats like Foley.
After the 94 midterms, the parties really became aligned either for or against gun control. The NRA upped its spending on Republicans, only really going all in on one party. Political scientists will tell you that's the era when partisan sorting really started to happen.
In the years during the ban, sales of AR-15-style weapons actually rose. Manufacturers were able to modify their guns or introduce new ones to get around the bill's restrictions. And that's partly because of how Congress wrote it.
They banned 19 weapons by name, and they banned a number of features that these guns had in common. The problem was, a lot of these features were cosmetic in nature. And as soon as gun makers read the language of the proposed ban, they began to plan workaround models that they could build if the ban went into effect.
At the same time, America continued to witness mass shootings, including at Columbine High School in Colorado in 1999.
Just before the lunch break today at Columbine High School, at least two young men, perhaps students, perhaps former students, went in and began firing on the students who live there.
5 years later, it came time for Congress to decide whether to renew the assault weapons ban. And it reevaluated the bill and found that the bill hadn't achieved its goal of limiting gun violence.
So, as Congress was debating whether to reauthorize this assault weapons ban, they looked at a couple things. They looked at whether it had been effective. Studies at this time showed that the assault weapons ban had done little to reduce gun violence in America. And because there were so few mass shootings, statistically speaking, they couldn't really measure whether it had an impact on mass shootings at the time. So the research did not conclusively say that the assault weapons ban had a positive impact at the time.
And American politics had also changed.
Congress obviously had flipped to be controlled by Republicans, or the House was controlled by Republicans. The White House was controlled by Republicans. But America's relationship to guns like the AR-15 had also changed dramatically. After 9/11, Americans saw soldiers going off to the Middle East carrying M16s. These were heroes defending the country from terrorists. And suddenly the gun became the weapon that was carried by American heroes. And people wanted to buy the gun that their soldiers were carrying. The assault weapons ban died with a whimper.
After the ban ended, sales of semi-automatic weapons like AR-15s skyrocketed. Gunmakers heavily marketed the weapons, and consumers embraced them for recreational use.
Before the assault weapons ban went into effect in 94, there were about 400,000 AR-15-style rifles in America. Today, there are 20 million. They began to be used more in mass shootings. Mass shootings started increasing in frequency and deadliness. You had Sandy Hook. You had Aurora, which was the movie theater shooting in Colorado. Leading up to Las Vegas, the deadliest shooting in American history in 2017.
AR-15s have not been used in the majority of mass shootings, but they have been used in some of the deadliest. Zusha spoke with forensic psychologists and researchers who study why some mass shooters are drawn to AR-15-style weapons.
We found, particularly with young men who are attracted to the gun, that they feel it gives them a certain amount of power. They're attracted to the rugged look, the tough military image. It's sort of a two-pronged thing. In one case, they're attracted to it because they believe they can kill the most people with it. And in other cases, they're attracted sort of to the tough, macho image of the gun.
Zusha says there was a renewed conversation about gun control after the Sandy Hook shooting that killed 20 children and 6 adults.
A lot of people in Washington were sure that AR-15s were banned. We've spoken to gun industry executives who made this gun. They were sure this type of weapon would be banned. But as the months went on and the bill went through Congress, it became clear that it didn't even have the support to get to the president's desk at the time. And after Sandy Hook, the assault weapons ban bill was voted down. And pretty much after that, no one thinks that such a bill could make it through Congress.
But Zusha says the outcry after the 2018 mass shooting at a Parkland, Florida high school did bring some change.
After that, there was a real youth movement that rose up in the country demanding change to gun laws. It was led by students who were sick of mass shootings, were tired of being afraid that they get shot when they went to school.
When our message doesn't reach the ears of the nation, we are prepared to call BS. Politicians who sit in their gilded House and Senate seats funded by the NRA telling us nothing could have ever been done to prevent this. We call BS.
And what we saw was a proliferation of so-called red flag laws. States started passing laws that allowed authorities to seize guns from people who were considered a danger to themselves or others, who showed signs of being a mass shooter. We also saw states rush to pass laws that raised the age limit for buying rifles, such as the AR-15, from 18 to 21, in an attempt to keep these guns out of the hands of troubled young men. But on the federal level, nothing really happened. So overall, what you've seen is a great cleaving of the nation after these series of mass shootings. You've seen Democratic states like New York, California, pass more gun control measures, and you've seen states, red states like Texas, pass laws loosening gun laws.
Joe Biden said on Tuesday that Congress should go back to what he passed in 1994. Would that stop mass shootings like the ones we've seen these past few weeks?
The way that the assault weapons ban was written in 1994 would likely not have stopped the mass shootings of the last couple weeks. During the federal assault weapons ban, gun makers made AR-15 style rifles without the features that were banned. They banned a number of features like pistol grips, bayonet lug, they banned flash suppressor. These are all pieces on a gun that have nothing to do with its internal function. They also banned magazines that held more than 10 rounds. But the problem is that magazines are not stamped with a serial number. There's no record of them. You can buy them without a background check. And there are millions of magazines floating around the U.S. that hold 30, 50, 100 rounds. So even if the ban, as it was written in 94, was instituted today, there would still be 20 million AR-15s in the country. There would be tens of millions of high-capacity magazines out there for people to use.
Gun rights advocates say restrictions on gun ownership will not stop mass shootings. What do you see as the future of the AR-15?
That is a great question. The future of the AR-15, right now it's the most popular rifle in America. Consumers love it because it's easy to shoot, because you can interchange parts with it. It's called Legos for Adults. It's an extremely popular consumer item. Hundreds of companies make it. They're sold across the country in gun stores. And after this mass shooting, as horrific as it is, in talking to political observers, to lawmakers, it seems that that stalemate in Congress may continue.
That's all for today, Thursday, May 26th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Cameron McWhorter. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.